problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is a man. Oh my God! Einhorn is a man.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. So nice to be back with you here on this Sunday evening. If you're listening live, we'll call it a live recorded program. Is there such a thing as that? Yeah, there is. It's called this one, okay? I don't have time to sit around like the rest of these people do and do a live show at Sunday, 6:15 p.m. because I work three jobs. All right? Sorry, I don't mean to yell at you. It's not your fault. I like being busy. It makes the days go by so much faster. And I don't know if you noticed, but I'm sure you have if you are alive. If you go outside now, it doesn't get dark till like 9 o'clock, which is just terrific. There's trade-offs with this, you know, weather here we have in Florida. In the summertime, you get more daylight, but it's also a furnace outside pretty much. But then in the winter, you know, it's nice, but it gets dark early, so you don't have enough time to enjoy it. It's one of those just life's little jabs at you, you know? You either got the money or you got the time, you know? That's just the way it is in this life. And, you know, we shall overcome, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the Homemade Broadcast here on RadioSaintPete.com. Thank you for listening. If you don't listen, or if you can't always make the Sunday 6:15 airings here and Monday 10:15 p.m. airings, or if you're an early riser, the Tuesday 4:15 a.m. airings of the Homemade Broadcast here on RadioSaintPete.com. I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay. HMB Radio should do it. Hotel Mike Bravo Radio. And it'll come right up. You can subscribe. I encourage you to please rate the program. It really helps us out. I'm trying to keep you informed with cool people here, or I think that are neat people here in Tampa Bay doing cool things. So make sure you keep up to date with that. Leave a quick rating when you're there. It really helps us out. Only takes 1 second, literally just push that 5 stars. And you can go about your day, and you can listen on demand whenever you want. Make sure you like the Facebook page, too. I always post stuff on there. HMB Radio on Facebook, Radio St. Pete on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Home_made_man. Always put neat little tidbits on there, I think. And if you'd like to follow along, please do so. Radio St. Pete is active on Twitter and Instagram as well. Just search Radio St. Pete. Easy as that. CityHallBroadcast.net. Keep up to date with what the goings on in City Hall. This one got canceled. I know the election season is heating up here with the two Ricks doing battle. Rick Baker and our mayor here, Mayor Rick Kreisman, are going to go at it here. So I'm thinking I don't know if this is true. This is all speculation off the top of my head, but maybe, you know, they're focusing their energy on re-election. So the no new City Hall broadcast this week, but back in 2 weeks, so I hear. So if we are, I will best way to just keep up to date is go to cityhallbroadcast.net and keep up to date there. So I want to say I got a few new sponsors this week, which is great news for me. If you want to become a sponsor of this program, I would certainly encourage you to do that because that's just the best thing in the world for me. It gives me hope. It gives me the courage to get through another day, you know. So these people are really doing God's work, if you ask my opinion. But good old faithful Tap House 61, formerly Sly Bar, no longer. Now they are Tap House 61, serving up the best craft brews in the Bay Area. Beautiful new space there. Check it out on Facebook, Tap House 61 on Facebook, and also just taphouse61.com, the number 61. Truvy Salon and Spa, my friend Chrissy Parker down there doing some best hair cuttings and Botoxings and, you know, whatever she does. She's the best at it. I don't get my hair cut very often, but when I do, I always go see Chrissy Parker, and there's a reason for that, because she's my friend, and she does great work. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa. That's T-R-U, V's in Victor, Y, salonandspa.com. Call and make an appointment, 727-329-9751. My friend Cal Patel, Attorney Patel, with the Florida Patel Law, Business Law. Check him out. He's the man, 360 Central Avenue. But it's probably best to just visit his website. As you can tell, I'm pulling these up as I'm going. So I always do this to myself. And I always say, hey, why don't you just prepare beforehand? And I'm like, yeah, but then I get going. I just get in the flow. Sorry, Cal. I love you, Cal. 727-279-5037. Good man there. Knows his stuff. He's helping me along with this homemade podcast venture that I'm going along blindly. He's opened a business. He started his own law firm, and now he's helping me out of the kindness of his heart because he's a good man. 727-279-5037 and flpatellaw.com. And I know, I'm sorry, this is the last one. I always tell people, too, make sure you write something up for me so I know what to say about you. And they're like, okay, and they never do. So K9 Holistics. Christine, my friend Christine, is doing dog trainings. And if you're a dog person, as this city is, everybody's a dog person. I see dogs everywhere. You need to have control of your animal. And some people don't do that. Well, Christine is one of the best at getting your animal to behave. So why don't you check her out online at K9, the number 9, holistics.com. She kind of does it in a, you know, earthy, spiritual way, I think, which is perfect for St. Pete, with white people with dreadlocks walking around with their German shepherds. K9holistics.com. Thank you very much to those folks. And hey, if you want to become a sponsor, email me. Or if you want stickers, email me. TheHomemadeBroadcast@RadioSaintPete.com. I got a bunch of free stickers here. So yeah, take them. I'll send them to you for free because I want you to have them. And I'm nice. I'm trying to be nice. So please email me and I will send them to you. If you want to leave a text or a voicemail, 813-693-2124. The thing with that number, it's a Google number. So you have to put a phone number, a forwarding phone number in there to kind of know it has to ring somewhere. So I have it on my cell phone. But then when there's a number that calls, I'm always like, oh, man, I wonder if that's a homemade broadcast line number. So I never pick it up, and then I always miss important calls because of that. So whatever. What can you do? Anyway, very excited. I'm super kind of nervous a little bit because I have a professional broadcaster coming in studio today, a person I've listened to since I was, geez, a kid. Formerly of Fisher and Boy on 97X back in, I don't know, the 2000s. And now he's with Drew Garabo at one of my workplaces, 102.5 The Bone, here with he's Drew Garabo's executive producer. Seth Kushner is on the program this week. I'm very excited. I'm very nervous. We're going to talk to Seth. Let's do that, shall we? Through the magic of podcasting, we're going to be back with Drew Garabo Live's Seth Kushner.
But like a time limit? I just have to be out of here by 9.
Yeah, we'll get you.
You're good? Okay.
No problem. I'm nervous.
You're nervous?
Yeah.
No, don't be nervous, man.
I have a professional broadcaster in front of me. It makes me feel like I'm on my game now.
No.
I have to be on my game.
I don't really feel like I'm a professional broadcaster. I can't. I don't feel like I'm a professional broadcaster. That's the thing.
Well, you've been doing it, gosh, for how long?
16 years.
You're a professional broadcaster.
Is it?
This is what you do for a living.
Yeah. I guess. Just broadcaster makes it sound so professional. But just an idiot who comes up with creative things to do every day.
That's really, I guess, all you need. Is that the biggest tip you could give anybody who's trying to pursue this?
As to what? Be creative or
an idiot or both?
No. There's different ways to go about things. I just kind of found my niche as a producer / on air personality. I hate all the different terms we have for radio. On air personality, DJ, jock. I hate it all. I don't know. It's tough to give advice these days to get into radio because I just did a thing at Kinetic School of Broadcasting where I was trying to help, a bunch of people get in. And I think the biggest thing is you got to be persistent. Like you have to go after what you want. If you want to be on the radio, you got to attack it from all angles.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I figured this out pretty late in life. I'm 32.
Are you?
Yeah.
Wow, I thought you were like 22.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel good. When I'm 40, I'm going to look great.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. 28-year-old.
You got a very young look.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
I think St. Pete does that to you, though. I think it kind of makes everybody look like a 25-year-old hipster.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. That's, flannels and tight shorts.
I like it.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah. So how did you get your start in this? When did you decide, I want to be a broadcaster? How do I pursue this?
Broadcaster, so funny. I was 19, and I just got out of, I think it was in college or at HCC, and I wanted to, there was something about radio. I like sports radio, and then 97X had first come on the air then. So I was in love with what I was hearing on 97X, and there was an internship with Fisher and Napoleon, who were the morning show back then. And I blindly emailed Fisher, and he emailed me back a couple of days later, set up an interview. I got the internship and never looked back. They eventually hired me for $7 an hour, and then I got full time. And, I worked at 97X. I worked at Hot 115. I work at The Bone now. I've been on 3 different radio stations in 16 years with Cox. So I guess they like me. I guess I was doing something that they liked.
Did you have any gap there where you were unemployed? You
no.
always had
no.
on wood.
I've been there. I've been there for since I was 19, so I'm 35. It's incredible. Nobody stays with companies that long, let alone you start off your career there and you're still there 16 years later.
Right. That's one of the things I wonder, because I had actually my dad did it for me, but when I was 18, he knew I was kind of interested in doing radio, so he said, hey, MJ has internships available. So I emailed the guy, I forget his name, who his producer was.
Who, Froggy Fester?
It was a blonde guy, heavy set dude.
Okay. I don't know him. I just know all the guys that were on his show.
Yeah, yeah. So I had an interview set up, and I just didn't go.
Because what the
hell? I was 18, and I didn't want to get up at 5 in the morning.
You could have had my job now.
I know.
You're doing a podcast out of your apartment.
I know. I wonder, but I've always liked to take the long road and the tough route.
Okay,
the road less traveled.
Is that your thing?
Yes.
Okay.
I say it is anyways to make myself feel
well. You'll probably have a show on The Bone by the time you're 50 if you go that
Man,
slow road.
I hope so.
Yeah. You'll take it, too. You don't even care.
At this point, yeah. How has radio changed in 16 years?
Oh man, it's totally changed. It's all about put a heavy emphasis on social media right now. So I hate to sound like an old guy because I'm young compared to a lot of people that I work with, but I don't understand. We don't get ratings off social media, or we don't get paid off social media. We get paid off what we do on the radio and who listens, and if we get a ratings bonus, that's how we get paid. So when they put such an emphasis on, are you posting on Instagram once a day? Are you posting on Twitter? Do you have a Facebook presence? It's that I don't understand. I know that it can help you if you're on social media. People are feel closer to you, and maybe they'll be more apt to listen to your show. But to me, I'm all about what goes on the radio, and I feel like with these days, managers are focused on a lot of other things and not necessarily the on-air product.
I think hasn't that the way it's always been though? As far as like the heads don't really know what's going on. They don't know how to do radio, right? That's you guys, and then...
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, I've always respected my bosses. You know, Sharquest started off with, I always thought, you know, was a great programmer for Alternative, and he knew how to work with talent. And then I was worked with Tim Clark under Hot, and he's moved up, you know, the corporate ladder. And now working for John Brennan is awesome because he used to be a producer. So there's a handful of producers out there that know what, you know, a producer actually does and what you deal with every single day. So it's amazing to work with John Brennan. So yeah, I think these people do have a clue, but I think sometimes it gets lost, and maybe I'm just old-fashioned, but I'm all about what goes on the air with our show between 2 and 6 and not necessarily what I'm doing on Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, luckily, you don't have to worry about that aspect of it, as that's what I have that job for. I do social media.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Because they say, hey, you'll go out to one of our events, and you'll have to do a post on Instagram, Facebook,
yep.
Twitter, Snapchat. Right. You have to do, like, at least one post an hour. It's crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, it's one of those things where, like, people have got famous from social media, from YouTube. So you have to at least throw your hat in the ring.
You
kind of do because you're actually leaving it on the table.
Is your hat in the ring right now on
social
media? My hat
is in the ring.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm all over social media.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's because I don't really want to be. Like, my biggest dread of my life has been that I ever got a stupid Facebook.
Yeah,
but
I don't have one, right? Don't even have a personal Facebook. Yeah,
good for you. Don't bother.
Never.
Because I have to do my HMB radio page, and then I got, you know, this business I'm trying to start up, doing podcast consulting, and then I do Radio St. Pete stuff, now I'm doing the Bone stuff. So I have to have a profile now.
Okay, that makes sense. You're doing podcast consulting?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to try.
Let me be your partner.
Okay.
Yeah. If someone pays you, let me go in there, and I'll take a small consulting fee, and I'll go in there, and we'll tell them how much they suck.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know, like, because I was talking to this attorney buddy of mine, and I was, you know, trying to con a sponsorship out of him pretty much, but then he said, you know, why don't you, you've been doing this a long time, why don't you start a business doing this? And I was like, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of a new, I think a lot of people are scared to jump into it. It's really easy, but some people just don't have the time to research it, put the equipment together.
Yeah. If you're up for, you know, I'm not up for asking people for money. Like,
that's the worst, dude.
Cut out for sales. Like, so I would do podcast consulting, but I would have somebody else that would handle how much it's going to be and that would collect the payment. Like, I am not – I've done some jobs before where they said I was going to get paid and I actually never got paid, and I hate asking for money. I never even asked for the money. So, yeah, I don't want to go into what those things are, but, yeah, I'm not good at asking for money. I feel like even though somebody agreed to pay me, I feel like I'm burdening them at some – you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But, you know, you did the service. You should get paid for it.
Yeah,
too,
that's true.
You know?
Well, I'm going to have you work for me then.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've gotten semi-good at it at this point just from having to do it. But it's the money aspect of it. Like, the sponsors that I have on here are all friends of mine. So not only – I mean, I know them, and I know what they do, and I know they're good at it too.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things that I think benefits me and benefits them.
It's good to have friends that have things to promote and, you know, are willing to, you know, cough up some money to
God
be a partner
them.
With you.
I love them. Keeping that cell phone paid, keeping my internet on so I can do this thing. So where do you think radio's going, if you were to guess?
I don't know. I'm not like I wish that I was, but I'm not like a radio nerd. I don't really keep up with the trades or, you know, what's going on or the trends. I feel like with what I do being in talk radio, I feel like if you're in music radio, that's a whole nother thing you have to be worried about, where people are listening to this Bruno Mars song that they can not only hear on the FM dial, but they can hear online, they can hear anywhere. Like, that's something to worry about. But as far as talk radio, obviously there's a million options out there for talk content. But I feel like with what we're doing right now on The Bone, and The Bone being so massive, I focus on that. And I think that's – I don't think that's changing. I think we have Bone TV right now, so there's another platform for you to listen to us and watch us. And obviously we're on social media, and who knows what's going to come next. But – I think just for talk radio, I think there's always going to be room for talk radio. So we just have to make sure that we're doing what people want to listen to.
Yeah, I think part of it, too, is I think it's going to come back and condense back into local, really, like, hyper-local shows.
That'd be
great. I feel like I kind of got the jump on this one. Maybe it's just because this is what I'm doing, but I'm focused on Tampa Bay.
Good.
And people that are in the area, and that's, you know, when you build a web, you start from the center, and then you work your way out.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome because there's just not – I love that local aspect of radio. When I was learning how to produce radio, it says, hey, what are the local stories in your area? Obviously, you have to talk about, you know, the big things going on with the celebrities or the national stories, but it's like, what unique stories are going on in your city? And
why do you think you have to talk about celebrities and stuff that's going on nationally?
You have to talk about things that people are familiar with, and I think that when you throw out a name like Caitlyn Jenner, I think people, you know, latch onto it, whether they hate her, whether they like her, whether they're interested or not. I think that it's something that they're familiar with. Much like when you say, well, man, why does this radio station play the same Katy Perry song 40 times a day? Because it's familiar, and you're really, at this point, you want people to listen to your station. So you're going to play not necessarily what your favorite songs are, but you're going to play what people want to hear. So sometimes we have to talk about not necessarily things that we're interested in, but things that we believe people want to hear us talk about.
Yeah. I used to kind of hate pop culture. I was one of those like, oh, it's, you know, music stinks. It's
sure.
On the radio. Now I've really come to appreciate it because it's popular for a reason for the most part.
Yeah.
And it has to be filtered through something. I mean, you're bombarded constantly from everywhere, social media, YouTube. You know, stuff's coming your way. So you have to have some people kind of in the way playing goalkeeper to kind of show you what's good and what's not.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily about, okay, so you can go, what's, you know, pop culture? Okay, so the dumbest thing in pop culture is the feud between Katy Perry and Taylor Swift happening right now. And I won't go into it.
That's a real thing?
That's a thing, yes.
Oh, I didn't
a
know
thing.
That was happening.
I have not even been reading the news the last couple of weeks because I've been off, but I still know about it. I don't go to E! Online, but I know. See, I know about this. I shouldn't, as a 35-year-old guy, I shouldn't know about this. I should be like you and not know about it.
Yeah.
But that's going on, so we wouldn't necessarily talk about that on our show. But if we did, we could take a unique angle. We wouldn't just be sitting here and going, oh, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift don't like each other. Who cares? Anybody could do that. But we go, okay, how can we take this story that everybody is talking about? How do we make this our own? And I think that's the fun part of what where I come in, because we can do anything. We can take anything and make it as crazy or offensive as we want to, and hopefully people will enjoy it.
Is there stuff that you should not talk about on radio?
I don't like talking about politics. I fought it a lot. You know, and that's one of those things where I don't want to talk about Trump, but if you just say Trump, people, they love him, they hate him, they're listening.
They feel away.
Right, they feel away. So are you going to try to go pull some obscure story that is going on in Largo and hope that people are interested, or are you going to talk about Trump? I'd rather pull the obscure story from Largo. I don't like politics. I don't think you should talk about who you're affiliated with, because you're alienating half your audience.
Yes.
I don't know how that's good. So
it's not stupid.
So it is. So, but you have that debate. You go, okay, well, Trump's the biggest thing going right now. Do you not talk about the biggest thing going? So there's that inner struggle where I say you talk about pop culture, but you kind of have to do it in your own way. And I think that's something that we're trying to do. But we've pumped the brakes on the politics stuff once Trump got elected, because we had to talk about it a lot.
Yes, and I talked about it on my podcast too, because I usually do an intro and then have the person on talk to them that close out the show. So my life is boring, really. I mean, I work 3 jobs and I come home and, you know, I do this stuff, but I don't know what's going on. So that, again, you pull what I'm seeing in that day, and usually I'm listening to some political commentator saying something, and I want to comment on it because I have this platform that I've built here.
Sure.
And then I thought about it, and I said, this is a really bad idea. I should not be doing this because I'm going to alienate everybody.
So you were talking about, like, who you were affiliated with and who you were voting for.
I didn't do that. I tried to bash them both equally as much as possible, but I felt one side more than the other was getting unfairly treated.
Sure.
So I maybe went one way more than the other, and then I said, I should just stop while I'm ahead. And thank God the election happened, and it's over with, and people are calming down a little bit.
Are they?
You don't have Facebook, so you don't know.
No, I know. I just hear the people I call every single day to the show. I mean, I know. I don't think anything's going to calm down, I think, for probably the rest of our lives. But it's good. If where you're living, if it's calmed down, I wish I was you.
Well, I didn't know Katy Perry and Taylor Swift were fighting either.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm in my own little bubble here.
Well, if you want to know more, let me know, because unfortunately I watched a video today with Katy Perry where she was crying talking about it.
Oh, so, no. I saw she's got her hair cut short and she's hideous now.
I don't know. I mean, if she's happy, then I guess I'm happy. But
is she happy? She doesn't seem happy.
I don't know. Well, you know, I'm sure she's happy. She's how could you not be happy if you're that rich and you're able to go sing for a living and dance?
Well, you know, they say money doesn't buy happiness, and maybe she's the antithesis of that.
I don't know. I think it does. I think it does. Yeah, I think it does get one of her, gets one of her boyfriends, Orlando Bloom or John Mayer. And I hate that I know this, but she did rank her lovers the other day. So.
Yes, and they said how I saw that. Too,
yeah, you did. Okay,
brave, how brave she was for doing that. Can you imagine if that was a man that was doing that?
Yeah, no, he'd be getting killed. Yes, so, but I did see that she rated Diplo last. So I don't know how he feels about that. But.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah,
he's a
DJ or he's a producer. Oh, okay. Yeah, all yeah. Right. I know very. I met Taylor Swift a couple of times, so I'm always Team Taylor Swift on everything.
She's a nice lady.
Yeah, she's. People say that she's calculated and she knows what she's doing, but I don't care. She's awesome. She always gives me compliments. I know it's part of her kind of shtick, but I love getting a chance to meet her when she comes to town.
That's cool, man. Yeah. That's kind of a perk of this job I found. You know, I worked the barbecue that happened at Vinoy Park, and that was cool getting to see. I didn't really know who a lot of these people were.
Yeah.
I knew Group Love. That was about
Group Love are cool. Kay Flay was cool.
I don't know if you saw her.
She was cool. I waited. I don't care about meeting anybody really anymore unless it's somebody I truly love. Kay Flay is a new alternative artist. I waited in line.
I saw you.
Did you see me?
Yes.
I bet I look pathetic.
I loved it.
I waited in line to meet her because I just was like, hey, you know what? I enjoy her music. Why not get a picture?
Sure.
You know, I don't feel like I'm a slave to Instagram, but I do like looking back on my Instagram going, oh, that was cool. I got a picture with Kay Flay.
A nice memory.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I get that.
So when you go deep on my Instagram, you'll see a couple of pictures with Taylor Swift.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I really like those. Yeah, yeah, I'll be on there for sure.
Go deep later and check them out.
What's your day-to-day like doing this job? Like, what do you – you know, you only work – what, 4 hours a day, like on air? But I would imagine you're working all the time. Often.
I am. Thank you. Because you're like 4 hours a day. It's tough to try to explain what you do for a living because I think when people listen and they hear, you know, a bunch of friends talking on air, they don't think it's work. And I'm not going to try to convince them that it's actual work. But if we're talking and you're on radio, yeah, there's a lot. We just came off of Apple a Day, which is a charity that we've embraced that raises money to get iPads for kids battling cancer. So that's something that I've been working on, you know, year round, but mostly in January. So I have that. I'm dealing with that. Then I'm dealing with putting together the show every single day. And the process for the show is I'll go in to the station. I might go in at 6:30 a.m. one day. I might go in at 11. But I'm doing a couple hours worth of prep. I'm pulling 18 to 20 stories, and then I'm formulating ideas around them, whether it's we should interview that person, we should do this phone topic, sending them to Drew, and then Drew comes in, you know, a couple hours before the show, gets out a whiteboard, writes out what we're going to do for the day kind of thing, and then it's throughout the rest of the day I'm either, you know, trying to research interviews to do. I could be putting together a best of show for the next time we're out. I could be talking to John Senning about what he could do better. I'm talking to Micah. I mean, there's always things that pop up, but for what I do every day, I put together the show. So that's the most important thing for me every day. So there's a couple hours of that, and then to go with the 4 hours we're on the air.
So, I mean, it's really, you know, a 24-hour, you know, I guess when you're sleeping, that doesn't count. But there's always something to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's always stuff.
But it's stuff you're probably, because I'm on the computer on Reddit or whatever most of the day anyway. So it's probably similar to that, you're kind of just browsing around and finding stuff.
Yeah, I mean, stuff pops up online. I'm on Twitter. It's like, or I could get a text message from Ian Beckles, who's has a show on our station, and he could go, hey, are you coming to this dignitary party? And then I'll go, oh, wait, okay, that party is on June 30th. June 30th is a Friday. Why don't we try to get Ian Beckles on our show to promote it that day? So it's just like, yeah, that's not actual work, is texting somebody at 9 o'clock in the morning. But, yeah, I'm always – you can produce not necessarily just sitting at a computer going through stories. There's always different ideas that will just pop into your head.
Did you know that the Ian Beckles podcast, the first one ever, was hosted on HMBRadio.com?
No.
Yes.
Why'd he move?
I don't know.
Okay, so
it's all speculation on my end. He said he just didn't have the time to do it.
Okay.
Whatever. And then I saw he's not with a company. Now,
yeah.
So I get it. I understand. But I was so excited.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, that was going to be, I was like, and then I was going to hunt down Cage and Fisher and get everybody, you know, to build up this network. I still want to do that.
Yeah. Why not?
But, you know, I guess I got to have some cred first, which I don't really have.
Well, it's tough to get cred in this world. I don't know how you get cred, but.
I don't either.
I think you just keep at it, and hopefully somebody that has some power goes, hey, this guy doesn't suck.
Yeah.
I think that's all you can hope for.
I hope so. My God. Well, I think that's just like I was talking to my lawyer buddy. He's like, you've been doing this for 3 years. And I was like, yeah, I have been. And I don't know. I kind of subscribe to that 10,000 hours. You have to do something 10,000 hours to become a master.
Really?
That's what I've always heard.
Wow.
And that's a long time.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm not good at this, what I'm doing now.
But really?
I look at the listen to the older ones that I did, and I'm like, I'm a lot better
than I used to
be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I feel like I only have about 9,000 hours.
Is that how many you have left?
I don't know. It's
oh, my God.
Yet.
Well, I mean, I'm only giving you, like, another half hour today.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you're
going
to have to work out those other 8,999 hours.
I'll figure it out.
You'll do okay.
But I wonder, you know, if do you think that's the case with something like this? Or are you just kind of born talent? Or
Man, it's tough. It's tough to answer that question specifically for radio because, you know, there's so many different jobs in radio. There's not just a host. There's a co-host. There's a producer. There's an associate producer. There's people in promotions. There's sales. There's digital. There's so many different aspects to radio. But if we're talking on air, until you ultimately find yourself and your confidence, that's when you'll feel like you're ready, you know? And it takes a long time people always say, hey, man, how do I get good on the radio? You just have to have confidence in yourself. And even if you think you have confidence now, just imagine how you'd feel 5 years from now or 10 years from now. Or if you start doing a show on the bone, you know, where you'll be years from now. It takes a long time to kind of find your confidence. I came up in the music world. So I was on air. So I was talking for 15 seconds at a time and I was able to find my confidence that way. So now when I'm on the bone doing 4 hours, it's no problem. I'm able to be myself. So I think that's the most important thing. I don't think you necessarily have to do things for a certain amount of hours. You just have to gain that experience. And I guess that does come along with the 10,000 hours. That seems like a lot though.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
But that's to master something, not necessarily be good or great, but to become a master at 10,000.
Okay.
So maybe I'm getting okay.
Hey, I'll talk to you in 9,000 hours. Let's do this again.
I'll
grade you. I'll see where we're at.
Do you ever wait? Because sometimes when I even do this, I love doing this. Sitting down with you or whoever that comes in, now that I'm doing it, I'm having a great time.
Good.
But then when I think about, oh, God, I got to do that podcast today, I start to dread it a little bit. You ever have that going on?
Wait, did you dread this one?
I dread every single one.
What were you dreading about this one?
You know, I think if this was my only job, I think it would be okay. But I have a regular job.
Yeah.
I work at the Bone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing, you know, Radio St. Pete stuff. I'm doing the city stuff. So I guess maybe because I don't have a lot of free time, I kind of, and then once, I like this, but once it becomes, your hobby becomes a job.
But what else would you be doing right now if you weren't doing this? What would
nothing,
you be doing around here?
Nothing.
See?
That's what I figured too. I was thinking, oh, God, I worked all week. I didn't have a weekend. I had stuff for the Bone on the weekend, and I was dreading that. And then I was having a great time when I was, you know, on the road and setting up for events. But I was dreading it.
Yeah.
And you don't get that?
Yeah. No, I dread every aspect of my day. I dread everything. I absolutely dread it all. But that's just – I think that's more of like a personality, like negative kind of outlook on things,
yeah,
which I have.
I do too.
So, you know, that's okay. But like you said, okay, well, if you're missing like U2 right now because you're here and you're a big U2 fan, I can understand. But we're talking about sitting around watching TV, wasting our time. But now, even though you were dreading this a little, you're working on your craft. You know, you're knocking out an hour of the 10,000 hours. So when this podcast is over, you go, okay, I didn't necessarily want to do it, but I took another step into trying to accomplish my dream. So, you know, that's better than watching whatever you're going to do on Netflix after this.
No doubt. Sometimes – but you know what one of my favorite things to do now is? Lay in bed and look at the ceiling. No noise.
This ceiling?
Yeah.
Like just a white ceiling?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think I might have, like, on the spectrum of, like, Asperger's or something.
I like to just stare also. I guess not necessarily at the ceiling, but at the phone. Like, and I'm kind of just relaxing when I'm doing it. But I don't like to read. I don't feel like I have to watch a TV show.
Yeah,
I just kind of like to just sit around and think.
I really enjoy that now. I used to dread that at a certain point but now that I'm actually working, I feel like I'm rewarding myself.
You
with
are.
No stimuli, just and laying down.
Just know everybody else is dreading every aspect of the day, probably too. I'm very guilty of that.
Professional broadcaster Seth Kushner is joining me on the Homemade Broadcast this week. What do you think you would be doing if you weren't doing radio?
Oh, man. That's a good one. I have no idea. I don't have anything good because I didn't – when I got my internship at 19, I didn't necessarily say I want to be in radio forever. I just thought, hey, I like this right now. So I went after it, and I go, okay, this is cool. I just think that I would want to do something creative. Like, that's where I thrive. I could not be on the radio, and I'd be fine as long as I was contributing to something creatively. I don't know what that is. I've tried to sit around and figure out, man, what could I do? Like, if radio went away, because when you get into radio and you're full time, it could go away. Who knows? You've seen it happen a million times. Yeah. So I always try to go, what would I do? I have no idea. I have no idea. So maybe that's bad. But
have you ever had like a real job?
Well, what do you mean by real job? I've had tons of.
You ever roofed a house?
No, I detailed cars, which was
okay. That's hard work.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah,
that was bad. I have not been on a roof before.
I did one time, and I did it long enough to know I did not want to do that
here in Florida. Again.
Yeah,
yeah, disgusting.
It was the worst.
I don't know how those guys do it.
I don't either, and they're all borderline alcoholics or functioning alcoholics.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you have to be, I think, to do that.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, I love those guys. I feel like they're the salt of the earth because while they're addicts, they still go out and bust their butt and earn their high.
Yeah, well, they're doing things that we would not want to do, and I appreciate those jobs because I go, there were some guys that were coming over to put up our fence today, and I'm like, I can't believe it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it's 95 degrees, and then it starts raining, and man, these guys, I would never do this. But you go, hey, maybe this is what they have to do to feed their family, and that's admirable.
Yeah, I mean, it could get on the government teat, I suppose, but they're like, no, I'm just going to become a laborer.
Yeah, I mean, I could never do it. I could, unless I had to. But yeah, I detailed cars, I worked at Burger King, I worked at Checkers, I worked at Sweet Tomatoes, I worked at Bell's. I mean, I've had all the awful jobs you can have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I was wondering, you know, because sometimes you just fell into this lucky thing and maybe you don't know what the real world is like.
No, I know. Listen, trust me. I know what the real world's like, and that's why, you know, I grind so hard every day because I don't want to
go back there.
I don't want to. Yeah, you got to know. Hey, I don't want to work at Burger King. I've been there. I don't want to be a door guy at the Improv. I don't want to work at Sweet Tomatoes. I don't want to detail cars. I don't want to do any of that stuff. So I want to be able to provide for my family, and I've always kind of had that mentality before I even had a family. So, yeah. I mean, I guess that just to stroke myself, I mean, I guess that's how you stay at a company for 16 years is to have that work ethic.
Yeah, no doubt. You know what I worry about, too, with this radio thing is not many people make money.
Yeah.
And I feel I have a sinking in my stomach when I see Johnny B and he's dealing cards during the day and doing radio at night and comedy. And a lot of people are not – this is not their only gig.
Right, right. Well, I mean, it's just if you love it, you know, then you're going to do it, and you're just going to be happy that you're getting paid from it. I mean, I'm sure Johnny B would like to just do radio. He's great at dealing cards, by the way. That's how I met him back in the day. I was like, this guy's really funny. But, I mean, you have to do it until you can't do it anymore, and that's where just that love – it's the love of radio, man. It's romantic. It pulls people in, and they do things that look idiotic on paper. Johnny B, I think – I don't know if he works in Sarasota.
Yeah, but I think he does. Yeah. I mean, he lives like up in Tampa
right? So let's say he's crossing the Skyway, or he's going to his job at dealing poker. Then he's coming over the Skyway, doing a radio show, going home, doing it all over. Guys all over the place. I mean, he clearly loves radio, or he wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's you got to get into radio because you love it, and then hopefully the money follows. But there's no guarantee of that.
Yeah, I think definitely if something did happen, freakish happened, right? Was on air with the Bone, I think I would still keep this going, try to get the podcasting consulting business going.
Yes.
You have to have something to fall back on because it could be gone.
Oh, if you got into radio and let's say they hired you part-time to be on the air kind of thing, I would tell you you're stupid to give up any other business that's making you money because the radio will not be it.
Yeah. You do. I mean, you're kind of into podcasting too, right? I mean, you and Drew are not only coworkers, but you're like buds, right? You're like close buds.
I mean, yeah, we've worked together for a long time, and Drew moved from Orlando, and unfortunately for him, I was one of the first people that he met. So we have a good working relationship. We have a good outside relationship. He has, you know, been there for me when I've gone through some stuff, and hopefully I've been there for him when he's gone through some stuff. But yeah, the executive producer host dynamic is it's fun. So yeah, we're buddies.
Do you ever have any tensions with that, being friends and then being that, having that working relationship? How does that affect your friendship?
It's fine. Nothing really affects the friendship. I mean, we get into it at work. I mean, we've had fights on the air, we've had fights off the air, but it's always stuff that's about work, and it's always about the, for, you know, what's best for the show. So, you know, there's been issues before. When I worked with Drew at 97X, we were flying back from Dublin. Jameson flew us out there for St. Patrick's Day, which is so cool. So we're flying back from Dublin. Obviously, it's an extremely long flight. We're all cranky. Drew and I are babies as it is. So my wife was picking me up from the airport, and then we get to the car, and I said, and Drew tells me that Drew met a guy on the flight who booked the wrong flight and flew to Tampa, and his family was in Orlando. So we were supposed to take Drew to his car at the radio station. So Drew gets off the flight and he says, "Hey, listen, can I bring this guy that I just met on the flight in your car?" And I'm going, "What the hell? I don't want some weird, like, we just got off a flight from Ireland. I don't want this weird guy in my car." And he got mad at me. We had it out in the airport, like right in front of Phoebe. I think he took a cab or something like that. And then I tried to call him because I think we had to work together the next day. And he picked up and he's like, "I don't want to talk about this right now." And he hung up. I go, "Dude, we have to talk about this because we're going to work together the next day. So that was like the first fight that we had. And that was new and us working together. And we've had some fights on air since, but it's not a big deal. Like, what are you going to let like tension carry over for? Like, you have a job to do with him every single day. So why have any hostility? Like, just talk it out.
Yeah. I guess it's different from like, doing it, like if you run a business together, if you're partial owners or something, you guys are co-workers and, you know, you're the EP or whatever.
Right.
But I guess it's a little different. They say never go into business with your friends.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, well, a good thing
for... you were co-workers first.
Yeah, you know? Good thing for Drew and I is we don't know anything about business. So we just, we went into this creative endeavor together and that works for us. I think the relationship that him and I have to where I can send him an idea and... we don't even have to talk about it. He knows exactly what I'm looking for, and he can execute that, and he loves the idea. That's what's brilliant about working with Drew is it's so easy compared to some other jobs that I've had in radio before.
And you guys do a podcast.
Yeah, we haven't done one in a long time, but yeah, we have Drew Garabo Uncensored. I think that it's in, when you talk about how radio has changed, to go back to it, yeah, podcasting is big. So I was convinced by a mentor of mine, Shark, to get into the podcast world. And then Drew and I are saying, well, why are we doing this podcast? We're not making any money off of it. We're doing essentially the same thing we do on the radio for free, 20 hours a week. So how do we monetize it? And we're not good businessmen. So we do it when we feel like it. And then it's a kind of a treat to the hardcore listeners. But it's not anything we're trying to churn out an episode a week.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think the last one I heard was like 2 months ago.
Yeah, that was probably it. We're due for another one, but there's no pressure. We did win Best Podcast in Creative Loafing last year, and I know that they're having the nominations again, so I hope that they don't vote for us again, because when Drew won Best Podcast last year, he's like, "Oh, my God, let's do a podcast." And I go, "You don't want to do a podcast for the first year. Now that we're Best Podcast, you want to do one, so
yeah,
don't vote for us."
You know, Creative Loafing has a goofy way of doing it. I think they actually cracked down on it this year.
Good.
Because you have to sign in now. You should be able to – you could just do whatever you wanted to.
Yeah, there's a bunch of crazy things that get nominated.
I was all excited because I thought I might have a chance in hell to win that. No, it's stupid, but it would just make me feel good that I had recognized for this thing.
It's just nice to get nominated. Even though you can nominate yourself, it's nice to get nominated.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, we're in the running for that. And then I'm doing the cities thing and all that.
That is so cool, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm very jealous of you pretty much essentially doing a radio show for the city of St. Pete, because I kind of fancy myself as the soon-to-be mayor of St. Petersburg one day.
Yes. Well, I'll do your podcast for you.
Okay,
that'd
be great. Because I just, you know, I'm all around St. Petersburg. But nobody, like, no, Kreisman or Baker, they haven't reached out to me to head up their campaign or anything. I mean, I'm all over Central. Like, I'm hitting all the hot spots. I go get coffee at all the cool, and nobody cares at all. So,
if you could talk
to anybody that's I see Rick Baker out, like, getting breakfast. I see all these people, but I need them to see me back. So,
I feel you. I was all excited when Kreisman followed me on Twitter, and then I went to go look recently. No longer.
He cut you loose?
He cut me loose.
Do you think it was an accidental follow? Like, do you think he
Maybe.
Did on...
I think it was actually Ben from his communications guy who does the podcast.
Yeah, Ben Kirby. He's awesome.
And then I think I retweeted some stuff too much, because I'm promoting my stuff all the time on Twitter. And he was probably like, "What is this?
Yeah, why are you doing this?" But I doubt Kreisman was sitting around going, "Yeah, this Will guy, he's tweeting too much." Like, I don't think he...
I don't know. I think he might.
Really?
Even knowing that, yeah, it was me.
Do you tweet that much?
I tweeted.
Yeah.
Well, I actually did cut it back recently because some people were like, "It's too much." And I was like, all right.
Yeah, that's the thing about Twitter is I kind of feel like I'm a Twitter expert. and I don't know why. I think Drew told me that I helped him out a lot with Twitter. It's the excessive tweeting, like live tweeting debates, live tweeting the Super Bowl, live tweeting any. I hate it all.
Yeah, I don't do any of that.
Sometimes it's funny. Most of the time it's moronic.
If I have something that I think is worth sharing, but that's rare at this point. Sometimes I'll type it out and be like, would I laugh at this if I read this and it was somebody else?
Yeah.
No, forget it.
It's tough. It's tough to get humor across on Twitter. It's really hard, so I don't
even... That's part of our problem that we have, by the way, is you can't tell tone in text.
That's where the emojis come into play.
That's true, but sometimes even I think that can get confusing.
It does,
I don't know.
They have like six emojis and you feel like a giant idiot. So, yeah, I know what you're saying.
So what do you think podcasting's the future, or you still think there's hope in FM radio?
Oh, I don't, wow. Still hope in FM radio. That sounds bleak.
Well, like, Finland doesn't have FM radio
anymore.
They stopped it, I think, last year.
Okay, yeah, I think there's always going to be FM. There's always going to be local stations. They might not be making the money that they used to 15 years ago, but they're still going to make enough to, you know, to be a formidable business. Podcasting, I mean, there's a lot of horrible podcasts out there.
Yes,
there's everybody has a podcast. It's easy to get a home studio, essentially. You can find really cheap equipment. You know, I mean, so there's a lot of bad stuff out there, and I don't think that just because you have a podcast, not you, I don't think that means that you're good. I don't think that means you should be on the radio. I think you talk to a lot of podcasters, they want to be on the radio.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of podcasters that don't need it, that can make a ton of money without it, and that's awesome. But a lot of people go, I'm doing this podcast because I want to get on the radio. So I think radio is always going to be around, but somebody's got to find a way to make money off podcasting consistently. I don't know if somebody's got to set kind of the blueprint out there, the roadmap, but someone's got to figure out a way that they can make money off podcasting. And maybe then it can get into the conversation of being the future. But right now, I think it's just too tough if you're not, you know, Joe Rogan or Adam Carolla,
yeah,
or, you know, the big ones.
What Adam Carolla said too, somebody asked him, how do you make a good podcast? What do you got to do to become successful in podcasting? He says, well, number one, you have to be famous.
Yep.
And that's, you have to be known through some other medium in order to succeed at this.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's room for truly, I think the podcasts have to have a niche, you know. If you want to go, you want to have a podcast to where you want to just talk about what's going on in the news, well, I mean.
It's too broad.
You don't, yeah, you
got to focus it in.
You want to talk about wrestling? Talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
There's enough wrestling fans out there. You want to talk, whatever, politics or a certain aspect of politics or. You know, who knows? Fantasy
football.
You can
find an even smaller niche, something like Minecraft. A lot of nerds are into that. Like, if you could start a Minecraft, I bet you could be successful.
Yeah.
Quite a few. If you started something goofy like that today, I bet you could build up quite the audience.
I would probably, if I had to do a podcast that wasn't with Drew and I did it on my own, I would do, and actually do one for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I would probably do one about St. Petersburg, and I would probably interview somebody each week, or a business person, or some high-ranking person in the area and try to interview them each week, because I love St. Pete so much that even if I wasn't making money, I think I'd still enjoy doing it.
That's kind of how I fell into doing what I'm doing. I started this with my roommate at the time. He had a baby on the way, so he's like, sorry, I got to go. So I was like, well, I guess that's that.
Yeah.
And then I'd lived down here for 7 years now, so I had friends who were painting, who were, you know, doing music. So I started having them on. And then they said, you should have my buddy on. And then it's kind of been rolling. Now I have people, I feel like I'm going to run out of people.
Mm.
But not only does that not happen, I have people coming to me now. Hey, I would come do your thing. Yeah, come on.
That's the best way to do it. Like, as a producer for what I do, sometimes I have to chase down guests. And then sometimes I get an email that goes, hey, Andrew Dice Clay wants to be on the show. And Drew loves Andrew Dice Clay. So it's like, okay, great. I didn't even have to do anything. So I totally know what you're talking about. And that's what makes this part of the job fun and easy.
No doubt. Seth Kushner, thank you very much for coming on. Any final thoughts, any words of advice for me or anybody else who wants to do radio? What did you think? Did I do okay?
Yeah. I thought you did good. I like your notepad that you have right by
you. Thank
you. I think I write down notes. There's a note. I bring my backpack everywhere. I have a notepad in there when we do the show. All right, I'm not going to go off on a tangent. I like the notepad. So, yeah, I thought you were focused. It doesn't look like you wrote down any questions, but you knew what you were going to ask. So I appreciate that. I can tell when somebody's prepared and when they're completely BSing.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
BS'd it.
Yeah, but I know, but I could tell that you at least put like some thought into the BSA.
Sure.
Like, you didn't you didn't completely just sit back and like, so, yeah, what'd you do today? Like, I could tell that you had questions about radio.
Yeah.
And you clearly thought about that ahead of time, even though you didn't write them out. So I thought that you did a good job. The future, for anybody listening, I have no idea. I would just keep doing what you're doing. I would keep plugging away in the promotions department. I would keep doing this and see if anything shakes out with that. But it takes a while. And, yeah, you might be on the air on the bone one day, but you'll not be making any money. So you just have to just decide if you're okay with that, if you love radio enough to put up with that or not.
We shall see. Seth, thank you, man.
Thank you.
All right, Seth Kushner, professional broadcaster here on the Homemade Broadcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe, rate, all that stuff, HMB Radio, Hotel Mike Bravo Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you, Radio St. Pete. Follow them on Radio St. Pete, Facebook, Twitter. It's easy. You can Google it. Yeah, thanks a lot. If you want podcasting, right? If you like podcasting, if you're a business and you want to do podcasting, check out homemadepodcast.com. It's my new consulting firm that this podcast is brought to you by. I'm professional, okay? Been doing this 3 years. I know what I'm doing. I feel like I'm threatening you right now to hire me. But you should. You know, why not? If you want to get in the podcast, check out homemadepodcasts.com. For Radio St. Pete, my name is Will Koontz. Thank you for tuning in. I will talk to you next week. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for Frank Rivera's Jazz Show and the Indie Circuit after that. If you listen on podcast, thanks a lot. Will Koontz, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. Sign it off. See you.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.